The series this month has been on how to relate to one another, how to relate the one another's of Scripture, how to relate the one another's of Scripture. Have you guys been enjoying the study this month? All right, tonight's message subtitle is Do Not Judge. Do not judge. Now, none of us sitting in this room here tonight is an island unto himself, unto herself. Nobody sitting here tonight is an island unto himself. What does that mean? That means as we go about our daily activities, we are in relationship with at least one other person. You're going to meet at least one person per day as you go about your daily activities. And as we relate to others, people at times will do and say things that don't sit right with us. It may rub you the wrong way, get under your skin, you know, get on your nerves. And maybe it's somebody who's given you his word about repaying you a loan and hasn't done so, and now you consider that person a thief. Or perhaps somebody promised you work of some type and has never called you to follow up, and so now you dub that person a liar. And in my own life personally, when people haven't done exactly as they said they would, my mind starts racing and making critiques of them. Anybody ever been there? When somebody has promised you something and they never follow through, never made that phone call, never, you know, were good to their word about it, your mind begins to race and you start negatively critiquing that person. And, you know, you can negatively critique a person without speaking words. You can judge a person without using physical words. And as soon as you use physical words, okay, the subject knows that you're standing in judgment of him. And, you know, judgments, what do judgments do? Judgments separate people. They cause divisions. They break apart relationships that God intended for you to have in order to advance his kingdom. Let me say that again. Critiques, negative critiques, and judgments of others will break apart relationships. It will cause divisions, and, you know, just cause a rift that, you know, that God never intended for you to have with another person. And if there's a rift in your relationship with this other person, you can't really do sometimes exactly what God has called you to do. So we should not stand in judgment of others. Amen? All right. Now, remember this thought here tonight. Remember this thought. People react on the outside, as you're going about your daily activities and deal with people, remember this, that people react on the outside in relation to inner problems and turmoils. They might be going through depression. They may be having family problems. You don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what another person is going through in the intimate details of his or her life. And a lot of times, those people that are going through major problems on the inside in families, it's seen on the outside in some strange ways. And when we see those strange ways, we tend to put judgments on them. Now, let me read you something here from the Speaker's Quote Book. The Speaker's Quote Book, and it says this. You might find this interesting. An elderly man who was very nearsighted thought of himself as an expert in evaluating art. One day he visited a museum with some friends. He had forgotten his glasses and could not see the pictures clearly, but that didn't stop him from airing his strong opinions. As soon as they walked into the gallery, he began critiquing the various paintings. Stopping before what he thought was a full-length portrait, he began to criticize it. With an air of superiority, he began. The frame is altogether out of keeping with the picture. The man is too homely and shabbily dressed. In fact, it was a great mistake for the artist to select such a shoddy subject for his portrait. Sounds like a judgmental person, right? The old fellow was babbling on and on when his wife finally managed to get to him and pull him aside. She whispered to him, "My dear, you are looking in a mirror." Interesting, right? And a lot of times, friends, you know, when we see people reacting on the outside in strange ways, doing things that get under our skin, a lot of times we're looking through a mirror. We don't always know what's making them operate and react on the outside the way they do. There's something going on the inside that we can't always see. So we need to stop passing critiques and judgments, right? All right. When we critique or judge another human being, we attempt to stand in a place that only God can stand in. Let me say it again. When we critique and judge another person, we attempt to stand in a place that only God can stand in. In essence, we're trying to play God, but only God knows what a person is going through and why he or she is reacting the way that they are. And if we try to stand in the place of God and play God over another person's life, we're standing in what? We're standing in pride. And that's a dangerous place to be, because the Word of God says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember that, friend. I want you to remember that tonight, because there may be people that are really getting under your skin, people that you just want to lash out at, people you want to critique and judge. Remember this: as soon as you start critiquing and judging, you're putting yourself in a place that only God belongs. Making sense? All right, tonight's text is Romans chapter 14, verse 13. But let me kind of give you some background here. Paul is talking about in Romans 14, the weak and the strong. There's people out there, he said, that will eat one type of food, vegetables only, and there's another man that will eat all types of food, vegetables and meats and so forth. And he says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Romans 14, verse 3. So in other words, these people should not be critiquing and judging each other. The man who eats everything must not judge and look down on the man who eats only vegetables. And the man who eats only vegetables should not be critiquing and judging the man who eats everything. And then he talks about days. Some people consider one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. And in the same way, the man who considers one day more sacred than another must not look down on the man who considers every day the same, and vice versa. And then he says in verse 13 of Romans 14, he says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Okay, let me back up to verse 9. We're going to read from verses 9 through 13 of Romans 14. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow down before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. So what's the point here of the scriptures we just read? It's that we need to stop judging each other, right? Only God, creator of heaven and earth, can judge the intents of another person. You know, if we continue to be critical, nasty, and judgmental of others, ultimately, we might incur God's judgment upon our lives. I don't want to be there. How about you? Let me say it again. If we continue to be nasty, bitter, negatively critiquing of others about the things they say and they do, ultimately, we might incur God's judgment upon our lives. Now, you've got to think about it this way. If others have been negatively critical, and judgmental against you, maybe it's your roommate, the person that sleeps by you, somebody that lives near you. If others have been critical, negatively critical, and judgmental against you, you need to ask yourself, am I reaping what I've sown? It might be. The world says it this way. What goes around comes around. Maybe it's a spouse that's being really negative against you, really judgmental towards you. You need to stop and ask, man, he is being so judgmental against me. Then you got to think, man, is it possible that I've been so judgmental and negative against others? And maybe I just reaping the negativity that I've sown into other people's lives? It makes sense, right? Paul the Apostle writes in Galatians that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. It works in every realm. If you plant apple seeds, you're going to get what? You're going to get apples. If you plant seeds of love, you're going to reap what from others? Love. In the spiritual realm, if you plant seeds of judgmentalism and negativity towards others, you're going to reap from others negativity and judgmentalism. Is that making sense here tonight? Let me read you another thing from the same speaker's quote book, and it says this. Talking about what goes around comes around. Interesting stuff. Okay, here. A man was constantly complaining about the members of his church. Finally, one of them, who was his friend, said, "Wait a minute. You have faults too, don't you?" "I guess so," came the reply. "Nobody's perfect." "Well, don't we have a right to make a few mistakes too?" "Yes," was the response. The other man continued, "Let's say you have three faults. There are 600 members in our church, and suppose each of them has three. That's 1,800 faults. Do you think our church would be any better if everyone were just like you?" "I see what you mean," said the complainer. "I realize now that I've been much too critical." Get the picture? That, you know what? We may see imperfections in other people and things they say and do. But guess what? We're not perfect either. Right. Always remember that. You may be able to point out imperfections in people, from the president of this nation to the person that lives near you. But guess what? You and I are not perfect either. And if we realize that we're not perfect, that we have our own imperfections, then it makes us less likely to be always judging and criticizing other people. Is that making sense here tonight? Could you say amen?
Amen.
All right. None of us is perfect. There is no perfect human being on the face of this earth. There is only one who is perfect. It is God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen?
Amen.
He is the only perfect one. I want to read you another little thing here. You've heard this before, probably. When you point your finger accusingly at someone else, remember you have three fingers pointing at you. Same point. None of us is perfect. We've all made mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. There's only one who doesn't. That is God and Jesus Christ. All right. Instead of being judgmental, Paul writes in Romans chapter 14 in verse 19, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." What's he communicating here? What's he communicating? Instead of being judgmental, Paul is communicating in verse 19 to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. In other words, he's saying what? He's saying what? He's saying to think the best of others who get on your nerves. Anybody out there get on your nerves lately? Under your skin? Said or did something that put you off kilter? All right, Paul says that even though people do things like this, because nobody's perfect, still try to think the best of them anyway. Still try to think the best of those who don't quite sit right with you. I got another thing to read to you here. It says this. The only way to live happily with other people is to overlook their faults and admire their virtues. The only way to live happily with others is to overlook what? Their faults and admire their virtues. The good things, the good qualities that they have. All right? Because that's the way God looks at us. That's the way God loves us. So basically, in Romans 14, 19, Paul is telling us to do what? He's saying instead of being judgmental and negative towards others, he's saying what? He's saying love them with the love of Almighty God. Agape, love them. What is agape love?
Unconditional.
It is the God kind of love. Do you think that God always brings up our negative past? He doesn't. There's only one who brings up our negative past constantly. Who's that? That's the devil, who's the father of lies. And there is therefore, the Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God is not the condemner. He's not the one who brings up your past. He's not the one that puts guilt trips on you. There's only one who does that, and that is the devil. Because God loves us with an unconditional love. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all of the sins, all the wrong things you did up until that point were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were placed into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? Amen? Say it again. Every sin, every mistake, every wrong thing you did up until the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord were forgiven and forgotten by whom? By God. Why? Because God loves unconditionally. He loves you with agape, the God kinds of love. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, that day was a day of a new start in your life. You became a brand new slate in Christ. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ Jesus, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. See, when God looks at you, at the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, when God looked at you, he didn't see your messed up past. Who did he see? He saw you covered with the blood of Jesus. He saw Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, when he looked at you. He saw only the best in you. He saw you as a person that, man, you know what? This person who has just accepted my Son as Savior and Lord, this person has great potential. He sees you as a person of potential, not a person who has made mistakes and has messed up in the past. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. And in that same way, if we're to imitate God, Ephesians 5:1, if we're to be imitators of the Almighty God, that means that we're to see people in the same way. Right. Not negatively critical, not judgmental, but we need to see them with the love of God. Through the eyes of God, amen? Amen. That they've got potential, there's something good on the inside. Man, I can think the best about this person. Making sense? All right. You know, God did this, and I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago how God loved us. It says what in Romans 5:8? Paul writes in the same epistle, what does he write? But God commends his love toward us, demonstrates his own love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for who? For us, the sinners. While we were yet in sin, Jesus Christ died for us. Because he thought, what did he think? He thought, you know what? This sinful world has potential. And once they accept me as their Savior and their Lord, their lives will change and their past will be forgotten. You know, Jesus, Luke chapter 23, powerful scripture. Remember when Jesus was being crucified? Those around him, the Jews and the Romans, what were they doing? What were they doing? They were doing what? They were just condemning Jesus. They were crucifying him. They were down-talking him. They were belittling Jesus while he's dying on the cross for them. And in the midst of the belittlement, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus pray to God the Father about these people? About his accusers? Luke chapter 23, verse what? 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In the midst of the accusations, in the midst of being crucified and belittled, Jesus still loved them. He saw the best in them. He saw that they could be changed. He saw that his accusers had potential to be followers of God, to do something great in the kingdom of God. Is that making sense here tonight? And I know we're not God. God is perfect. But in the same way, when it's hard to love others, start crying out to God. Say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm a human being. I'm imperfect. And it is so difficult to love these people who are so hard to live with, who are so hard to love. And I tell you here tonight, I guarantee that if you cry out to God in prayer, God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. And God will give you his supernatural divine strength and empowerment to love the unlovable. To love those who you would rather criticize and be judgmental against. Is that good? One last scripture. Parable of the love of God. Remember the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. This boy slapped his dad in the face pretty much and said, Dad, you know what? Just give me my inheritance and I'm going to run off. It's like he was telling his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead." So his dad gave him the inheritance, and he squandered his wealth in wild living, this prodigal son. Luke 15:14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He came to his senses, verse 17, and he said, "I'll set out, go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And he said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and killed it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Now, this father wasn't like some people, right? Some people would have said what? Some human beings would have said what? "God, I can't believe this son took the inheritance before I even died. I want nothing to do with him." That's what? That's a negative attitude. That's a judgmental attitude. "This son of mine is not worth anything. He's an accident going somewhere to happen. He was a mistake." Some human beings would respond in that way. And maybe your dad talked to you that way. But guess what? There's a heavenly dad that loves you so very much. And he does not think that way about you. But instead of thinking in the natural human way, how did this father think in Luke chapter 15? He thought, he communicated with the love of God. Even though his son wished him dead, when he found his lost son, he was just so overjoyed and loved him. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome, isn't it? And this father in Luke chapter 15 represents who? It's representative of Father God in heaven. And God loves you so very much. That's agape love, man. Loving the unlovable, loving unconditionally. Even when it's tough to love, you love that person anyway. Even when that person says they were going to repay something they borrowed and they don't do it, you love that person anyway. Think the best about them. Instead of saying, "Man, I can't believe this person stole from me," think this way instead. You know what? This person might be going through a hard time mentally. Maybe this person can't work and thus has no funds and they can't repay me. It's okay. This person has got potential. I'm going to be his friend anyway. Is that making sense here tonight? So we need to start imitating God. We need to love others like God loves us. Amen?
Amen.
So instead of being judgmental towards others, we're to do what with them? We're to do what? Love them with the love of whom? Love them with the love of Christ, with the love of God, like Paul writes in Romans 14, verse 19. "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Amen?